Have a good show.
Thank you, Casey.
What? That's put me in my head. Thanks a lot, Casey.
Good Fuck. Show. What does that mean? Does he think the other ones have been bad? Fuck.
Is this how I normally talk? You guys.
Aaron, you sound so weird.
Yeah, oh, Aaron, God. You truly do sound weird. Oh, no. Aaron sounds weird. Oh, God.
Oh, my God. Oh, God.
The doctor was the Sorry. Old habits. Here we go. How does a podcast evolve after you've practically solved every puzzle and riddle? You really gotta expand upon your limited brand before your show gets really shitty. You turn to face reality and pray your personalities will carry this last minute pivot through. So here comes the content that nobody wanted. Now it's time for Hey Riddle Riddles Glue Crew.
Ooh, find my favorite log and start this fire here. Okay, JPC and Aaron should be here any minute now. Let's get this fire nice and roaring. Put some wood on here, some old DVDs.
I got stung by several bees and I lost my shoe.
Oh,
am I late?
Aaron, you're not late, but you look terrible.
You can say that.
Are you allergic to bees?
Yeah, aren't we all? Huh?
And just for clarification, I have been here the whole time, but I knew that the fire wasn't started, and I really did not want to start a fire, so I just decided to play it cool, be over here, and then I was like, oh.
Smart.
Now
smart.
I won't have to start this fucking fire. That's perfect.
Yeah, smart. Can I just say, JPC, your season of Survivor is my favorite.
Thank you so much.
When you hide every time there's something to be done?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's pretty brilliant gameplay.
I was eliminated in the first round. They did a pre-elimination round for me, which is wild. It's just like, it's not something that I ever thought that they would do. But they eliminated me before the game had even begun.
And is Jeff Probst still not talking to you, or?
I think we're mutually not talking to each other.
Okay, sure.
All right.
Well, let's.
But you're still really close with that guy from The Amazing Race, right?
I'm really close with the guy from Rat Race, Mr. Bean.
Oh, sorry.
Yes. No, but we're still tight. Me and Mr. Bean talk all the time.
Wait, you and Mr. Bean talk all the time? Isn't he famously nonverbal?
You're thinking of the host from Amazing Race.
Yes, Queen.
Okay.
Happy birthday, whatever, Adol. What are we doing again?
Yeah, well, what are you talking about?
No,
numbnuts, happy birthday.
No. Remember last Halloween and the previous five Halloweens before that, where we meet in the woods, we light a fire, we all throw something in the fire to signify our a celebration of tradition, and then we tell spooky stories? Remember that?
Am I losing my fucking mind? Of course I remember that.
Yeah.
It's one of my most treasured memories.
So we have the fire going. We each have our own log that we're sitting on. Mine is, let me describe this. Mine's like a white birch. I guess it's more of a stump. It is still a log. Is a stump a log?
I think so, yeah.
Okay. So that's what mine is. There's sort of some bird poop on it. It kind of smells like moss. Aaron, do you want to describe your log?
Mine is, a raccoon. I was sitting on a raccoon. I am so sorry.
He bit you.
Come back to me.
You were sitting on that raccoon?
Come back to me.
Why are you yelling that at the raccoon? Oh, he came back. Aaron,
please.
He came back to you.
Oh, it's nice. I was going to say, like, it's warmer on my butt.
Yeah. And what I'm sitting on, well, do you know, like, how sometimes people say, like, that guy's got a stick up his ass?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess you could say that guy's got a stick up his ass.
Oh, and so you're just kind of perched on it very...
No further questions, Your
yep,
Honor.
Yep, okay. So everyone, okay, reach into your satchels.
No, it's up there. So I just want to...
Hold on, your butt's touching the ground. So that stick is that far up?
I think I was born with it.
Show me with your hand. Show me with your hand how big the stick is.
What, pull it out?
No, show me like this, like.
Okay, it's this big.
Oh, God.
There you go. Oh, you know what I'm thinking of? I'm thinking of that old children's joke, what's brown and sticky?
Okay.
Yeah. Stick up your ass.
We're all wearing flannel.
Yeah, it's the season, and this is one of my favorite traditions that we've done several years in a row. That's right, traditions, not traditions.
This MF just said traditions to me?
Ta-da!
There's no R in our traditions because they're anything but regular. So I want us each to do what we always do every year around this time in this spooky month. And we're each going to throw a token into the fire to, again, celebrate and acknowledge that this is a bond and a pact that any stories told over this campfire tonight will never be retold to anyone else again. So let me go first, okay?
Why not?
I remember when I told Mike, and
I'm not signing an NDA, is what I'm saying.
No. Oh, you're on NDA? Is everything like bright and like there's a lot of colors and stuff?
I got signed to the NDA.
Oh,
so I'm playing with the Wizards. Yeah.
Oh, that's
what you're thinking of is the host
team
from Amazing Race.
Thank you, Aaron. Thank you.
So let's each throw a token into the fire. I'll go first. What I brought for this month, for this year, for our spooky story session, is I brought one of those, you know, those little goblins you put on your finger and they have like little hands and they have like a mouth open and you kind
of. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like little
Finger goblins.
Finger goblins. That's what it is. I brought one of those, which to me represents the scariest thing when I was a child. I was put these on my finger and I'd make it look at me and I'd get terrified and I wouldn't turn it away from me. I'd make it keep looking at me and moving around and I would scream and cry and my mom would go, stop doing it. Just take it off your finger. And I'd go, I can't, even though I could. And this represents to me scary season, October. This represents Halloween and spookiness. So I'm going to throw this in the fire.
Can I have it?
What the fuck?
Wow, you caught that. You caught that fast.
Yeah, can I have it? It's so cute.
I thought that was going to hit the fire for sure. That was going to hit the fire.
Oh, brother. Oh, man. I think I'm going to put in my 2 weeks' notice at work because I'm very unhappy at my job.
I think she should be allowed to keep it, honestly, because of what she's doing right now, which is very funny. I think she should be allowed to keep that.
Wait, those are the same things that you used to say to me when I was a kid.
Shut up, Adel.
Oh, no.
You don't remember anything about that.
Let me get this off her finger and into the fire.
No.
Sorry, that thing had a soul. Look, it's escaping.
I could have done callbacks to it.
Oh, you just deprived of all the fun callbacks.
Okay, well,
all
that
right,
could be
well,
more in my pocket.
The only thing I have on me is a $100 bill, so ha!
Ha! Oh, I missed it. Went straight in the fire.
You hucked that like J.P. Riddle's hucking a flashlight into the woods.
Aaron, I can't believe you threw that from 15 feet away from the fire, a flat $100 bill, and it went so fast into the fire.
Let me tell you something about physics.
Okay. I'm all ears.
Sorry, I got distracted by something. You're up, JPC.
You're up, JPC. Okay, I'll give it a try.
Oh, he probably
we
have
miss
like,
you.
Yeah. Probably like acid-washed jeans with like a untucked shirt with a tie.
¿Dónde está la biblioteca?
JPC, what token are you gonna throw into the fire to appease the spooky story season
gods?
Gods, that's the word.
Gods. And again, like, what are the rules in the token? Does it have to be like personally significant, or
it's supposed to be something that scared you as a child? Just like every year that we've done this, it should be something that scared
something
you.
Scared
we all know
show.
Aaron. Every year, Aaron throws money into the fire. She always said she was scared of fiscal responsibility.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I said I'm bad with money, and that's why I'm scared of it. And then I throw some into the fire every year.
Throw some in the fire. It reaffirms you're being bad with money.
Aaron, can I ask you something? And feel free not to answer this. If every year you didn't throw $100 into a fire, would you be better at money?
Yeah, buddy.
I guess what I'll throw in the fire is this is a recent picture of me as an adult. I was always scared as a child to see what I would grow into being, and this is it. There we go, right in the fire.
It's really sad.
That's super sad.
Yeah, but it's easy because I just bring in like a recent picture every year. And then
does it offend you that neither of us tried to catch it?
I assumed that you could try, but how to say this? Every picture of me is mobile. There's something about a picture of me that is animate. It doesn't want to be caught.
Mobile. Do you mean mobile?
Oh, you know what? Yes. That's a picture of me from my vacation to Alabama that I went on.
I think you're thinking of the children's joke, what's brown and sticky.
That's exactly what I'm thinking
mobile
of, yes.
Alabama. Oh, JPC. That's weird. The photo isn't burning.
It's not weird. That's a Kodak, my man. Those things don't burn.
Oh, very nice. Okay. All of our tokens are in the fire. We're ready to begin the Spooky Story Society. We're supposed to all say it together. Ready?
The whole thing?
Just Spooky Story Society. We're ready to begin the Spooky
Kodak,
Story
my man.
Society.
Those never burn.
Close enough. All right. Now, I've been thinking this October about which story I want to share.
So I'll
go first.
I'm sorry. Hold on. Let me put a muzzle on my horse. No, it's for your own good. You know you get scared of the wind. Plus, the muzzle's warm. And the blinders are for your eyes so that you don't see things that could terrify you. You're a good horse.
He won the Kentucky Derby, right?
No, he won a Kentucky Whiskey Distillery Tour.
No, he won the rat race.
Oh, I'm thinking of your horse that won the Kentucky Derby. That derpy-ass horse, remember?
Yeah, three left derps.
This is what a level two improv class sounds like.
During break. You don't do this shit in front of teacher.
Teacher would scold you. You don't do this in front of teacher.
You get in trouble if you do it in front of teacher.
Listen to my podcast. That's improv.
Okay. Yes. Okay. Ooh, very spooky.
So I've been thinking this year, you know, because in the past years I've told a lot of stories that I've concocted that have a little bit of truth in them. And this is a story that I dare say actually happened to someone I know.
Oh.
Submitted for the approval of the Spooky Story Society, I call this story The Scarecrow. Here, let me grab some of this magic dust that I throw on the fire, and it makes it go real high. And Aaron, I threw that right in your face.
Right in Aaron's face.
Aaron, I'm sorry.
Oh, God.
My aim is so bad. I'm so sorry.
Oh, my God, and I was taking a big, deep breath in.
Oh, just so you know, that powder I throw on the fire every year to make it go real, real high and burn real bright, it's actually just Coffee Mate, so...
You'll be fine.
Are you allergic to Coffee Mate?
Yep.
And when he says Coffee Mate, I know what you're thinking. Yes, it is liquid Coffee Mate that he just threw into Aaron's throat. He just threw a glass of
lungs.
Liquid Coffee Mate into Aaron's throat. That's basically milk.
I can't believe she gulped it down in one quick instance.
That's like sugar milk. Okay.
I hate it. Whew. Okay.
I would hate it too. That sounds awful.
Oh, yeah, buddy. Okay. This story is called The Scarecrow.
Okay.
Once upon a time, a teenage boy was walking around a farm, just curious. He parked his bike on the edge of the cornfield and went inside to kind of look around. Off in the distance, there was a barn. There were horses, not unlike your own, JPC. There was old, broken-down, rotted fences that had long ago been trampled over. There was barbed wire in certain portions, but that too had been cut and snipped and laid furled on the ground. He decided to look around deeper into the crops of the farm, and he found himself in a large cornfield. The corn about 10 feet tall. This was around the, October, so
the
crop was not yet harvested. As he walked through the corn, what was that?
As tall as an elephant's eye come July.
I always heard knee-high by the 4th of July.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's as tall as an elephant's finger by the 4th of September.
As tall as Jeff Probst.
There we go. That's it. And as he went through the corn, he detasseled a few stalks just for fun. And the corn, the blades of the corn stalk would cut at him. But he had bundled up, so it didn't necessarily cut his skin, but it would, cut through some of the fabric on his shirt.
So not a big deal.
Yeah, but it's worth mentioning. I mean, it can be scary.
Right.
Oh, you think it's worth mentioning because it could be scary? I always think it would be worth mentioning because you'd have to get a new shirt.
He did have to get a new shirt. So he left the cornfield. He went to JCPenney's. No, he went to Marshall's. Or was it TJ Maxx? What's the difference between Marshall's and TJ Maxx?
Dog food. One of them has dog food.
There you go. And he got a new shirt and he came back to the cornfield the next day. And something seemed a little different. He went back deep into the corn where he had previously stopped to get a new shirt. And this time, he pushed past. He pushed on a little further, deeper into the cornfield, until he came upon a clearing. He came upon a clearing in the middle of the cornfield, and it looked like no one had been there before. There was no footprints. There was no trace of any human being having been there before, except for one item in the middle, a scarecrow. It hung on a long stick, not unlike the one JPC pulled out of his ass.
Wait, was our main character not the scarecrow?
This stick?
No and no.
Huh.
So my friend, let's, for the sake of the story, we'll call him Tom. Tom came upon this
Would you mind calling him Brett?
Can I ask why?
I know what your friend Brett looks like. I don't know your friend Tom. So in my mental image, when I'm building this story and like thinking about it and seeing it, if it's Brett, I can just put him right in.
Okay, so Brett Lyons was looking at this scarecrow.
I know a different Brett. Brett Lyons? Okay, yeah. we'll work with that.
Brett was looking at this scarecrow.
What does he even look like?
The scarecrow
I'm going to give him a mustache. Hold on, I'm going to give him a mustache.
Okay.
Wait, hold I on. Didn't give him a mustache. I got to give him a mustache.
Well, let's make it the same size. Tell me when to stop.
Stop.
Okay, great. Huge mustache. It's a huge mustache. Okay, continue, Adel.
So Brett was looking at the scarecrow, and he noticed the scarecrow had a tattered jean jacket and tattered khaki pants with stalks of sort of twisted, gnarled branches coming out of the bottom. No real feet. And he had his arms outstretched, almost like Jesus on the cross. And his head was simply a burlap bag with features drawn on and a jaunty sort of straw hat on top. But this scarecrow was not jaunty. He was terrifying.
That and it seemed comparison between Christ and scarecrows, I gotta tell you, is gonna stick with me the rest of my life. Never made that connection till now. Similar body language.
Oh my God, Aaron, did you not know that scarecrows are modeled off after Cross on the Christ? And crows
Cross
are
on the Christ.
Sorry, I'm drunk. I had a few hot toddies.
I saw Brett lay into Rob White for wearing a French collared shirt, so I can only imagine what Brett's got to say to this scarecrow looking like a raggedy-ass muffin doll.
That was one of the best 30 minutes of my life.
So Brett was looking at this unusual scarecrow, and it seemed almost, if he paused and looked and listened hard enough, it almost seemed like that scarecrow with the burlap sack face, it almost sounded like he was breathing. He heard this raspiness coming from what seemed like the scarecrow, but could have been somewhere else in the field. He couldn't quite tell.
Yeah, he never can.
So he edged closer to the scarecrow.
Uh-oh.
Inch by inch, foot by foot, until he was right up next to it.
Yep, that's edging.
And he made it last for, I don't know, 3 hours? Is that like sting level? Is that like sting level edging?
I think what Sting does is tantric sex. It's not necessarily edging, yeah.
And by this time, 3 hours later, it was dark out. But he was hypnotized. He was enthralled. He was in the grips of this scarecrow that was a little bit unusual. And as he stood there staring, transfixed by the sound he heard, he knew for sure, 100%, the sound was coming from the scarecrow. This raspy breathing in and out. And if he looked close enough, he could see the burlap bag go in and out, in tune with the raspy breathing.
No,
I don't love that.
I don't love that either.
And he stood there, and he thought to say something, but what do you say to a scarecrow? And then he thought
of
something.
Hold on, wait. I know this. This is a joke for kids. What do you say to a scarecrow? Hey.
Oh, that's
nice.
Pretty good. Because they're usually made of hay.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Thank you.
So he knew he came up with something to say. He said, "What do you want?" And he heard an answer.
Oh.
It was sort of garbled, mumbled gibberish at first. The scarecrow clearly had not talked in some time, if ever. And he asked again. He said, "What do you want?" And the scarecrow again had this garbled, mumbled gibberish. And Brett got even closer until his ear was just inches away from the scarecrow's painted-on mouth. And he said, "What do you want?" And he heard the scarecrow say, "I want to get my dork sorked." And Brett said, oh my God, he fell backwards and landed in the mud near the base of the scarecrow.
Yeah, I would too. What, there's mud?
Yeah, I forgot to mention.
I have to start over.
Really?
Yeah,
okay.
No. I can do it. I can make it work. But you said it was a clear, pristine, so I'm like, no footprints, but then there's mud also.
I never said pristine. That would indicate someone was taking care of tending to the land, even.
Okay, and it's mud.
Anyway,
so you can't
the
really
scarecrow
mud.
Said again, "I want to get my dork sorked." Now, dork Brett, being an intelligent man, sorked. And he knew about edging, he was a master of edging, he assumed what the scarecrow meant by that, but he couldn't be quite sure. Maybe they have their own language or words, but he kind of knew what he was going for. And now the scarecrow pushed himself up off the wooden stake he was tied to.
Oh,
and
wow.
Landed with a thud.
And that can be painful, I know from experience.
Oh, yeah. And this scarecrow went, ooh, ow, 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 ow.
Yeah, for sure,
he gave
for
himself
sure.
a Charlie horse. And once the Charlie horse subsided after he rubbed it out a little bit and ate some salt, He looked straight up at Brett and he said,
"Does salt help?"
Straight salt?
If you ever have a foot cramp, eat salt. It's gone in 30 seconds.
I thought it was bananas.
Excuse me?
I thought it was bananas that helped with Charlie Murphy.
Salt, my lady.
What, how are you eating the salt? Just like a spoonful of salt?
A banana?
I dip it on a banana. Like Fun Dip.
I thought it was potassium.
Delightful.
It's salt? Oh,
so the scarecrow crawled up onto its feet, now mobile on its own. Nothing? Okay. And said, "I want to get my dork sorked." Brett looked around to see if anybody else was there, if somebody was throwing their voice or controlling the scarecrow somehow through some sort of automatic electronics or something. And again, the scarecrow looked up and said, "I want to get my dork sorked." So Brett, knowing that if he ran through the corn, he might cut himself, and always wondered what was going on, he decided to make a stand, and he said, "Okay." And so the actions that happened. And then 10 years later, Brett was in that same area, that same farmhouse, and he decided to pull into the gravel driveway. He parked his Prius because he was a sensible man.
Sensible, yeah. That's
he locked his car, buck-quark-quark. He realized he hadn't got out of the car, so he unlocked his car, got out of the car, and then locked his car, buck-quark-quark. And he walked up to the farmhouse that was on the land of the cornfield just to see if there was a farmer there that might know what happened those 10 years ago, what was going on, if there was any other instances, or if the farmer himself had built that magical scarecrow. When he knocked on the door, there was no answer, but there was this rustling sound behind the door, almost as if someone was breathing through a burlap sack. He knocked again, and there was no answer. So he finally mustered up his courage and opened the door. The door swung open, and sure enough, right there inside the house was the scarecrow. And Brett was taken aback. He almost fell
Jesus
off the porch.
Christ.
And the scarecrow looked at him, and he said, "What are you doing here? You can't be here. I have kids." And Brett said, Are they mine? And the scarecrow goes, "That's not how that works, my man. That's not how that works."
Yeah, I guess. I mean, we said Brett was smart, but I think I said sensible.
I said sensible.
Yeah, about some things.
So this is a story about a one-night stand.
Aaron, you hijacked my conclusion.
I'm not scared.
In conclusion, never have a one-night stand.
So it says that salt can help the cramp, but it's not necessarily caused by a lack of salt. So it's not like having a saltier diet will prevent the cramps. It's just the salt helps the cramp.
I'll say anytime I had a cramp as a kid, my grandma would give me a little bit of salt, and within 30 seconds, my cramp was gone. So I don't know if she was a witch, but it always worked.
Mariah told me that I shouldn't go from eating like hot food to cold food too fast because it could crack my teeth. And I was like, I don't think so. I've never heard that before. And I looked it up and I was like, it says online that that's an old wives' tale. And I was like, where did you hear that? And she's like, it's something my dad always used to say. And I was like, okay, so we have found the generational
lie.
The generational lie that no one ever Googled that we just kept on living with. That's interesting.
I'm trying to think of any of those in my family. There's got to be at least 10. I think most of what I know is not true.
Dads?
Sorry to interrupt this conversation. Was there any questions or anything about my story, or we're done?
Sounded like a consensual one-night stand between a man with a very large mustache.
Almost too large. Comically
Almost
large, really.
Almost comically large. And what are those called?
Scarecrows?
Scarecrows.
Yeah.
Yeah, it sounds like a very muddy man blew a scarecrow and then, I guess, later ran into them. I mean, I know how scary it can be
awkward
to run into an ex, especially if you didn't, like, end on good terms. That can be terrifying.
Yeah, that can be rough.
Yeah. That can be
pretty
bad.
So I guess pretty scary.
Yeah.
Adelaide, I can go next.
Should we rate it?
No, let's not. I think the end of the story going immediately into Googling, having Googled potassium.
No.
I think that speaks volumes to how you felt about it.
I Googled that during the story.
Aw, thanks, JPC.
Right.
Aaron, I now pass the stick that was up JPC's ass, signifying that you are the next person to tell a story for Spooky Story Sessions.
All right, and I'm gonna do
spooky story sessions. I know we said we were gonna say it at the same time, so I hopefully
peppermint
I got
coffee mate into the fire. Oh, sorry, JPC.
I was behind you.
I don't know. I don't know.
You went
I
over your.
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know.
Peppermint.
Oh God, I don't know. I'm so sorry.
Was that room temp?
Yeah.
Oh, JPC, go by the. Your horse will lick it off.
Okay. Oh, okay. Let me get the muzzle off here. Here we go. That's a good horse. That is a good horse. All right. Muzzle back on you. Thank you, Three Left Florbs.
All right. We ready?
I'm ready. Yeah.
What's the name of your horse?
He keeps having new ones.
Okay, good.
Aaron, submitted for the approval of the Spooky Story Society. You call this story...
Brave.
Whoa. Wait, is this Pixar's Brave?
No. Because
you did this last year.
No,
you said
and this
there's
time
a little
is
redhead
an original
Scottish
story.
Girl. Okay.
This time? All right.
What about when you told the scary story Cars?
I'm not who I was in the past. Let me evolve and change. Do you want to talk about how much of a shithead I was before, or do you want me to be better?
I want you to be better.
Yeah, I'm willing to give you the benefit of the doubt on that. And the story is called Brave?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
In a small wooden cottage, there was 5 electronic appliances. A toaster, a radio, a lamp named Lampy, an electronic blanket named Blanky, and a vacuum cleaner named Kirby.
So far original. Thank you, Aaron, for doing the homework.
Okay, good, because I haven't seen Brave. I was gonna put on a Brave face and kind of try to call her out, but it's not that. That's not Brave. What she's describing is not Brave.
Yeah, Brave is a lot of like, no, Dad, I don't want to go.
I'll be shooting for me own end. Something like that. That's okay. Brave. That's not this. They were awaiting the return of a young boy named Rob, whom they refer to as the Master, used to vacation at the cottage with his family. But the family has not been by in many years. Upon seeing that cottage is about to be sold, the appliances venture out to find Rob themselves.
You don't just stop being by.
Yeah, you said stop by. You don't just stop.
She said they hadn't been by in many years. But it's like, I mean, maybe you're just like with, you know, a partner of whatever. You know, it's like, but it's just like you're still bi.
Even if you get married to someone, that doesn't mean you stop being bi.
Sure.
We are all about bi visibility on the show. Sometimes people can change their identities over time. You're not beholden to a first sexual identity.
October is bi visibility month.
Well, this is what I'm saying. The boy used to just stop bi.
Okay. Got it.
Not like bi.
Okay.
The appliances decide to venture out to find Rob themselves. They turn Kirby into a lawn tractor by attracting a rollless... Kirby?
Did you say Rob himself?
And they find Rob themselves. They're gonna. Okay. They're trying to find Rob themselves.
The guy from Jackass.
No, you're thinking of Jeff Probst.
Oh, wait. Let's think of Jeff. Can you rename the guy Jeff? And let's all picture Jeff with a big mustache.
Yeah, there you go.
That's Jeff Probst.
They turn Kirby into a lawn tractor by attaching a rolling office chair, a power strip, and a Junko car battery for a power source to him and travel via Kirby. And the radio serves as a navigator by directing the group towards the urban radio signals he picks up. Along their journey, the appliances have numerous harrowing adventures. Don't yawn.
No,
don't yawn.
You threw peppermint creamer into my throat. I got to get that out.
Gag, don't yawn.
Jimsy, I got to say, I've told you before, you have to stop standing behind people with your mouth wide open.
Every gag begins with yawn.
At one point, when their battery is nearly dead, the group stops for the night in a forest, and Blanky serving as a makeshift tent. During the night, a storm blows Blanky up into the trees.
A storm blows Blanky? Aaron, I just told this story.
This is not a story about a one-night stand. Just stick with me.
And you're telling me the X-Men storm blew Blanky?
The more you listen, the more context you'll have.
I gotta say, if I saw Blanky right here, Blanky would be getting a high five because
Blanky is a child.
What? Wait, what?
Aaron, you can't release the story.
Okay. A storm blows Blanky up into the tree, and Lampy uses himself as a lightning rod to recharge the battery. After recovering Blanky, the appliances try
Hold on.
To cross
so
the
Lampy's
waterfall.
Dead?
No, Lampy is not dead. They're all alive.
Lampy would be blown up if they got hit by lightning.
Bear with me.
Is Lampy a kid too?
I think they might all be kids. After recovering Blanky, the appliances try to cross a waterfall, but everyone except Kirby falls into the water below. Kirby dives in to rescue the others, but with the chair, strip, and battery lost, the group resorts to pulling Kirby through a swamp. They are almost swallowed by quicksand, but are saved by Elmo St. Peters. I don't know who that is.
Elmo's
and taken to his appliance.
That's Elmo's full name.
Is that Elmo's full name?
You never watched? Well, that's Elmo's porn name.
Gotcha.
Elmo St. Peters.
Elmo is a child.
Well, we can't release his story.
But what's are Gonzo's saved by Elmo St. Peters, you know, and taken to his appliance parts store, where they witness him dismantling a blender to sell its motor to a customer. When radio is about to be taken apart for radio tubes.
They all have fun names, and then radio is just called radio?
Yes.
Okay.
Wait,
I love that you're curious.
Some of them have batteries inside of them, but they were also using a battery to get where they were going. So now they're like, we can use a battery, but we don't want to get the battery taken out of us.
Oh,
yeah. Isn't that a little hypocritical?
And Aaron, are batteries like butt plugs for electronics? Like, does that feel good for them?
I can tell you're both really listening, and I really appreciate that. When radio is about to be taken apart for radio tubes, the others frighten St. Peters by pretending to be a ghost. With St. Peters unconscious, they make him unconscious. The group escapes.
What, they choke him out?
Yeah, they kill him.
Oh, the group escapes and make their way to
prison. You said these were kids.
They are. Rob, now a young adult, goes out to the cottage with his girlfriend Chris to retrieve the appliances and take them with him to college. When the group arrives at Rob's family's apartment, their newer appliances, resentful about Rob wanting to take the older appliances instead of themselves, demonstrate how much more technologically advanced they are, and they throw the group into a dumpster.
No!
I'm just realizing how much Toy Story has sort of been taken from the plot of this.
Rob Wait, the and plot Chris of your original story?
This is very original. Rob and Chris return home empty-handed.
Is this brave? You have to tell me if this
it's
is brave.
It's not brave.
Because I haven't seen it.
Rob and Chris return home empty-handed, but an old black-and-white television in their apartment. A friend of the five appliances who formerly resided at the cottage with them plays fictional advertisements for the junkyard the appliances have been taken to in the hopes that Rob and Chris will go and find them there.
That is psycho shit.
So
it's
wait,
amazing.
TVs can control what we see. So we're not there. Remote controls are the illusion of power. That's what
exactly.
You're saying. Aaron, this is the most terrifying fucking story I've ever heard.
I know.
And I know. I feel like this story is absolutely fucking terrifying, and I'm so glad you're on board with this, because I know, like, in the early episodes of Hey Riddle Riddle, you mentioned, like, we were talking about scary movies, and you were like, The Brave Little Toaster is scary.
Ah, da, da,
like,
da, da.
Huh?
At the junkyard, the appliances are despondent that Rob apparently no longer needs them.
Yeah,
they are
fudge.
Picked up by a large electromagnet and are about to be destroyed by a crusher. But when they see Rob in the junkyard, they believe he might still need them after all. They make numerous attempts to escape the magnet and place themselves so Rob will find them, until the magnet picks up a huge pile of junk and spreads it across the conveyor belt leading to the crusher, separating the group.
Oh, does the conveyor belt, as they're on the conveyor belt, and there's like the crushing teeth and everything, is there a sound of like...
Yes.
Thank you.
Interesting.
Yeah,
Interesting.
Buddy.
Yeah, buddy. Rob spots all the appliances except Toaster on the conveyor belt, but the magnet picks up Rob as well as the appliances and drops them back onto the belt. Toaster jumps into the crusher's gears and jams them, stopping the crusher just before it flattens Rob and the others. Back at the apartment, Rob repairs the mangled toaster, and he and Chris soon depart for college with all five appliances in tow.
Wow.
Wait, was there...
Scary.
At any point, was there a radiator?
There's a radiator, and he's scary, and he looks scary in his big old teeth and is yelling at them in the cottage.
Sounds brave to me. That sounds like the hero, where if you look scary and you're still willing to yell at someone, that feels brave, because you know people are already, like, scared of you. So I think to speak your mind and truly set boundaries. That's my new tabletop game I concocted.
That's my new brunch spot where everybody sits 6 feet apart.
Oh.
Also, Aaron,
what did you think of my scary story?
Well, I did Google bananas help with cramps, and it says you probably know that bananas are a good source of potassium, but they also give you magnesium and calcium. That's 3 out of 4 nutrients you need to ease muscle cramps tucked under that yellow peel. That's WebMD. I can't believe they say tucked under that yellow peel.
Please don't try to sell me on bananas.
Okay.
Peel might be the anatomical name for what that is, though.
Oh.
Yeah, I mean, that might be the correct term. We call it a dong around the house, but I think that might just be like slang.
Huh.
Adel, are you proud of me for not reading
Aaron,
the plot of
a this is the one
Pixar
time
movie?
In 6 years that you have not ripped off a Pixar movie, and I am over the moon. Everything you said sounded sincere. It sounded well thought out. It sounded original, and I am so happy. Like you said, there's a little bit of Toy Story 3 mixed in there. But I'm willing to forgive that.
Oh, my God. I feel so guilty.
Why?
Nothing. Because
you threw that
Come back to me.
Powder in JPC's face?
Come back to me.
It's,
come back to me.
Aaron, honestly, it's okay. It's just a face. I mean, I'm not going to get too precious about this face. I'm only going to have it for another 50, maybe 60, if I'm lucky, minutes.
Oh, wait. Yeah. Aaron, did your raccoon run away?
Yeah, that's why I was saying come back to me and not I'm having crushing guilt in my soul for lying to my friends.
Oh, that's good.
JPC, what's your story?
Yeah, it'd be awful if you had that. Okay, I'm ready for my story. Is everybody ready if I take my little turn?
Yes.
Submitted for the approval of the Spooky Story Society. JPC, you call this story
The Very Spooky Skeleton has computer issues.
Ooh.
Okay, well, Aaron, did you notice that as he was coming up with his title, he was looking around the campfire and just kind of saying things he saw?
He's not one to improvise. He definitely wrote this before.
Okay. I'm sorry. I was looking for up here it is. Throw this in the fire. We're right in the fire. No.
It went right in the fire.
Wasn't quick enough, so it went in the fire.
But it knocked some of the
No, it didn't.
Okay.
It was Oatly brand creamer. It was very expensive.
And
too
it
expensive.
Went right in the fire.
And it went right in the fire. Liquid Oatly brand creamer. Why is it $7? It is insane. It's so expensive. It's
$7.
It's very expensive.
And and how quickly do you go through it?
I won't buy it.
Okay,
I won't buy it.
How much is in it?
That
like, does it last a month?
I don't know. It's the same as other creamers. It looks like ounces wise, it looks like the same as other creamers. If you look at the per ounce price, it's astronomical. What could be in it? What could make it so good?
You just saying liquid creamer for $7. That's so far the scariest thing I've heard all night.
No, this story is called, I think, The Very Spooky Skeleton Has Computer Issues.
Okay.
I don't think I've ever gone through a whole thing of creamer.
Creak!
No, that's a stream.
Went the sliding doors to the Best Buy. Dave, the assistant manager, said, "Sorry about that, sir, we're gonna..." And then Dave stopped in his tracks. What? For what he was looking at was not a man. Or if it was a man, it had been a long time since anything human he still resembled. Bleached white bones connected by... What are skeletons?
Wait, are you... Hold on. JBC does this every year. Are you just ripping off the Postal Service? Bleached white bones.
No.
Okay.
Anyway, Dave gives him a little badge. Says, "Welcome to Best Buy." He says, "You are a visitor here. You are not permanent."
Okay. Counsel, watch yourself.
I'm crossing my arms and narrowing my eyes at a suspicion
Dave says, excuse me, is there something that we can help you with? And the jaw of this thing, which shouldn't be attached because there's no sinew, there's no muscle, there's no flesh, slowly opens. And the creature said,
I think I'm having some computer issues.
Just then, Dave noticed that the creature was holding on to what appeared to be like a Lenovo ThinkPad. And
like one or one?
It couldn't quite see if what it was. It looked like the shape of a Lenovo ThinkPad, but
I'm going to draw it out on the with like the dirt.
Stick in the dirt,
yeah. Small, this is your butt stick.
Yeah, I need that. I'm
Give
talking.
Give me a second.
Sorry.
Give me a
hold
second.
Hold on, I have to hold that.
Oh, yeah, storyteller's supposed to have that so that we can all talk over them.
So it's okay. The size of a Lenovo ThinkPad, okay, but he's okay. The way the skeleton's holding it, you can't see the logo on the front. You can just see like the back, and he's like trying to guess it by battery ports, but honestly, all PCs kind of have the same like,
so it's like one.
Charger.
Yeah, I bought one of those in New York on Fifth Avenue by a street vendor, and it was a Lenovo.
Oh, yeah. And you put that in your sacks?
I put that in my sacks, and yep. And,
on Fifth Avenue?
It worked for a day, and it broke, so off-brand.
Dave says, you're having computer troubles? And the skeleton quickly cuts him off and says,
I think I'm having computer issues.
And Dave's like, well, I'm Dave, I'm the shift manager here. I can't help you, but I can take you over to our Geek Squad. And the Geek Squad may be able to sort you.
How big is Dave's mustache?
Stop us when we get to it.
It's Dave Bautista.
Oh.
Whoa, Thanos?
I haven't seen Brave. Sure, I'll say yes, because that's easier.
Okay.
This is Stuber. Does that help? Stuber. Does that help?
Who's Stuber?
Oh, that's...
Stuber. You know, yeah. Stuber.
It's the guy from Silicon Valley, and he gets into Lyft. And...
Wait, Kumail is Stuber? I thought Dave Bautista was Stuber.
We don't call people Stuber. That's rude.
You're thinking of The Amazing Race.
Okay. So anyway, Dave says, I'll take you over to the Geek Squad, and they can sort you out. So he brings the skeleton over to the Geek Squad, and Mike, who's working at the Geek Squad desk, his jaw about drops and hits the floor, but it doesn't because it's got bone and flesh and sinew and all that stuff, so it's just like a normal jaw. And he pulls Dave aside and he goes, is that a freaking skeleton? And Dave goes, that's a freaking customer. So you have to help him. And so he's like, okay. Mike's like, oh man, okay, I guess I'll help him. And Mike goes, hey sir, how can I help you today? And the skeleton says, greetings! I believe I am having computer issues.
Hey, Aaron.
Yep.
Can you meet me behind my log real quick?
Yeah, what's up?
So far, it feels like...
Don't run away from me. Sorry, I had to grab my raccoon. I stood up from him.
So far, it sounds like JPC is just describing any person over 60 going to Best Buy.
Yeah.
Do you think he really wrote this, or do you think he's just kind of... making up on the spot?
All I'm saying is someone here did not write their story.
Okay.
I'm getting that vibe. And it's probably JPC and not me, right?
Okay, we'll hold trial after this. Sorry, JPC. We thought we dropped the raccoon and we found it.
You guys weren't listening?
Did
you keep telling the story?
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't have to go back to where you were at. You can just skip to where you were.
Okay, so... right back to where I was. Okay. So Mike is like, what's your password? You need to type your password in. And the skeleton says, look away. And Mike's like, I don't care, man.
Like,
I don't
why?
Care. What,
like, what the fuck?
I don't care what your password
His
is. Like,
password is look away?
That's what Mike says. He's like, Mike tries to look away. And the skeleton goes, no. You look away. So Mike, he turns his back and he hears like a click, click, click.
Boom.
And Mike's like, what's this guy?
So slow.
Is he typing like so slow? It's like chicken poking at the keyboard. And Mike turns around, and the skeleton is, he's searching for the letter. Like, porn? He doesn't know how is a keyboard is porn? Laid out.
Oh.
He doesn't know the QWERTY. So he's, like, looking all over trying to find the next, you know, key. He doesn't have the keyboard memorized. Can you believe that? He doesn't have the keyboard memorized.
Yeah, that's, most people over 60, they do that sort of peck and
search. Is that a skeleton thing?
So anyway, Mike waits, right? Mike waits. The skeleton gets it, clicks enter, incorrect password.
Hold on. Hold on. I wrote it down.
So then the skeleton reaches inside of its own chest, pulls out a scroll. Like a long scroll. And he starts...
So wait, so the Best Buy employees and the Geek Squad people, I don't know if they're the same, if they both work for Best Buy or if Geek Squad's an independent... Can I buy stock in Geek Squad that's separate from Best Buy?
Best Buy is Geek Squad, but they have... Like, employees are specialized, right? Geek Squad people are just for repairing computers. And
so
like...
Okay, so this is like whiskey and bourbon. Like, all bourbon is whiskey, but not all whiskey is bourbon. All Geek Squads are Best Buy, but not all Best Buys are Geek Squads.
And it's like you can't call it champagne unless it's actually from Champagne.
Exactly. That's exactly correct, yeah.
So wouldn't the Best Buy and Geek Squad employees, wouldn't they have seen this giant scroll inside his chest cavity because he's a skeleton?
The scroll is bleach white, and so they just thought it was like a rib bone,
yeah,
honestly.
Okay.
This is Mike Birbiglia, by the way. So Mike goes, oh, yeah, you've got the password on the scroll. This fucking guy, he unfurls the scroll. It's just like, it's not like, you know, the letters like we would know them, right?
Sure.
This is like ancient runes and symbols and shit. And the skeleton goes, I have to translate. Anyway, Mike looks at his watch, 20 minutes until his break. And he's like, this is going to take way longer than 20 minutes. So Mike starts guessing. The skeleton's like translating. He's like fucking with the scroll. Mike types in bones. It's the first one. Bones
oh
is the guy's
God.
Password.
Come on.
So Mike goes, okay, I can actually get your password. We don't need the password. You can put the scroll away. It's go, okay. And he, you know, starts to furl it up. It's taking forever. And Mike, he's like, what seems to be the problem? And he's like, my internet browser won't open. And Mike looks at this guy's desktop. This guy's desktop is, the skeleton's desktop is an absolute mess. It's just like icons everywhere. And he sees Google Chrome is open. And so he clicks on it. This guy's got 500 tabs open.
Oh. How do you even... Oh, I'm not trying to judge. Whatever.
Wait, 500 tabs open? What is this? The daughter from... what's that M. Night Shyamalan movie where the girl doesn't finish any of her drinks?
500 tabs open?
Signs?
What is this?
Signs.
Yeah.
500 tabs open. What is this? Norm from Cheers? Anyway.
Nice.
So he looks at, he's like, this is way too many tabs. He says, yeah, this is going to crash. You got so many tabs going. It's all the same tab. And it's all a recipe for cookies. But it's the recipe for cookies that's on the Toll House, like, cookie. It's just the recipe on the back of the thing.
Oh,
and he
yeah.
goes, were you trying to make cookies? And the skeleton goes, I can't eat cookies. And he runs his fingers over his ribs. And it's, like, unsettling, right? Because he can't eat cookies, obviously.
Does it sound like a xylophone?
It does. Or if Casey can't find that, whatever. It sounds like whatever.
Casey's not doing any effects.
Oh, good. So Mike goes, well, we close the tabs, and then you don't need all these same tabs of how to make cookies. And he goes, keep one. I'll never find it if you close them all. Keep one. And Mike's like, fine, I'll keep one. And he goes, is there anything else that I can do for you, sir? And the skeleton says, he kind of leans in close to Mike, and he says, there was nothing wrong with my computer.
Aww.
I don't get out much. I'm in the graveyard, and I today could have used a friend.
Yeah.
And Mike looks down at his watch, and guess what? His break just started. And he goes, you want to fucking... smoke meth with me? That's what I'm gonna go do right now.
This is the saddest story I've ever heard.
And the skeleton says, no, man, meth is for little punks. And anyway, so I'm sitting there, I'm in high school at the time, and the presentation ends, and we're all like, do we clap for this? Like, what was this?
This was a dare thing?
I guess so.
This is like when they show during prom, God. They show like the you know, the dangers of drug use and alcohol.
Yeah, I guess so. But we're like, the school brought this in, like they paid for this. And then my friend Rick, who's sitting next to me, goes, no, man, it's 9 o'clock at night. The school wouldn't have sanctioned this. We're just here watching this. And I say,
that's scary.
Oh. I say, oh, we got to get the fuck out of here. And so me and Rick, we're the only two guys in there. We slip out the back, and then we just go home. But we never really figured out what was going on there.
That is kind of scary.
So yeah, wait, was that like a presentation that we watched, or what?
How did the skeleton open up 500 tabs of Nestle Toll House cookie recipes?
It was fiction.
If he lives in the graveyard, is there a hot spot? No, Aaron, I need to get to the bottom of this.
I don't know. I mean, I guess if for a morality play, I'm not really sure I understood what the lesson I was supposed to take.
I lied.
Aaron, what did you lie about?
I lied as well. I have a confession to make. I have a confession.
I lied.
Okay,
JPC, do you want to go first or I go first?
I lied too.
My story was fake. That was the plot for the movie Brave. I actually have seen it, and that's what it was. So I apologize. I was brave.
JBC, that took a lot of courage.
Thank you.
To reveal that, so thank you for saying that. You are
thank
forgiven.
You.
You are still in the Spooky Story Society.
Thunk. I lied.
Do you want me to tell my lie first, or do you want to go first?
I'll go.
Okay.
My story was really just the movie Brave Little Toaster.
What? I've seen Brave Little Toaster like 10 times. That sounded nothing like the plot.
It was the Wikipedia page, so they left a lot out.
Oh, that explains it.
Oh my God.
None of the characters in my mind or all of them had mustaches, so that's probably why I didn't really immediately recognize it as the Brave Little Toaster.
I'm really sorry that I lied.
Aaron, that's pretty bad. We're going to have to kick you out of the Spooky Story Society.
Yeah, that's got to be strike three for you, huh?
I totally get it. What was your lie at all?
I didn't have one. I just wanted to feel included.
You didn't have a story either?
No, I had a story.
Oh.
You guys just didn't listen to it.
Oh.
Well, we heard it. It was about a one-night stand.
Speaking of one-night stands, 2 1/4 cups all-purpose flour, 1 teaspoon baking soda, 1 teaspoon salt, 1 cup of butter softened, 3/4 cup granulated sugar, 3/4 cup packed brown sugar, 1 teaspoon vanilla extract, 2 large eggs, 2 cups Nestle Toll House semi-sweet chocolate morsels.
That'll do it.
And if you like,
one
cup of chopped nuts and several bananas.
I can close my tab. Who the fuck said
that? Neptune, bye!
Check. Dang it, that's the wrong theme again. I mean, they are really similar, dude. That was Clue Crew, so now here's a who's who. The relatable host was Aaron Keith. If you rolled your eyes, it's because of Adel Refai or that other young guy, fucking JPC. Casey Tony edited what everybody said, and F. Mumbly Cardamus did the logo. Arnie Parrott sang and wrote every single friggin' note of 1, 2, 3, 4, hate riddle riddles, Clue Crew.
That was one of the spookiest episodes we've ever recorded. I gotta be honest. Casey, don't do a thing to it.